Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTD with his capable answer to Ed McMahon, Mr. Randy Smith, the W2S, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Chestnut Ridge Radio Club technical net. Are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call K2BAR. Alrighty, nothing heard. That's good. Alrighty, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT, and tonight's technical net is conducted every Thursday on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club's 2-meter repeater located in Alpine, New Jersey, on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz. The offset is -600 kilohertz, 146.955 -600 kilohertz. And the PL to access the net is 141.3. That's 141.3 hertz. In addition, the net may be accessed via EchoLink at Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash Lima, K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash Lima. And we will have a special check-in time for those stations on EchoLink, so do not panic. We have a roll call. Alrighty, so this net's a little different than most because we encourage people to check in whether or not they have a comment, whether or not they have a question, whether or not they have a sale or swap item, or wanted item for that matter. So, you can pretty much talk about a lot of different things because you can talk about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, how we apply those wonderful arts, the underlying science and technology for them, some of our experiences, past and future, our aspirations and things, of course, we never want to do again. They're always fun, so you can tell stories if you make them relevant to enhancing the state of the art. Maybe an occasional chuckle is in order, too, so that's always a good thing. Or a wise object lesson on what not to do, that's always too. You can also post what you have for sale, what you would like, and, of course, for what you want to, might want to swap. So, with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. We check in by giving our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, a sale, swap, or wanted item. Some combination of those things. Or none of the above. So, with no further ado, stations and call signs begin with the letter Whiskey. Please check in at this time.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
WA2UMP, United Mike Papa. Good to hear you, Jim. Nice to hear you. Any other whiskeys?
This is W2JEK with two comments.
Don, W2JEK with two comments. Got it. Any other whiskeys?
Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, Washington Township, with a comment.
Since you had intermittent problems, I'd be curious as to what that was about, if you don't mind sharing that at the appropriate time. Did you find? But all right, we got you with a comment. Any other whiskeys?
WA2QBC, no traffic.
Good evening, Bruce. WA2 Quebec, Bravo Charlie, as well. Any other whiskeys?
WE2R Charlie, just listening.
Good evening, Sir Charles, the Dean of all things written. Nice to hear you, WE2R, K2BAR. All right, any other whiskeys? Okie dokie, how about the kilos?
Bang, this is K2EIR with an announcement.
Howie, K2EIR with a comment. Good, excellent, Howie. Any other kilos?
Hello, Charlie 2, Uniform Victor Quebec, Phil in Irvington, New York.
Okay, Kilo Charlie 2, Uniform Victor Quebec, Irvington, New York. What is your name again, sir?
My name is Phil. I spell Papa Hotel, India, Lima.
Very good. And what are your intentions?
Just listening tonight.
Good evening, Phil. Glad to have you in. Welcome aboard. Alrighty, there was a station that doubled with you before. Let's let that station go, please.
K2BAR. AB2CRW.
Good evening. None of the above.
Good evening, Kai. KB2TRW. Very good. Welcome aboard, sir. Mr. R. Actually, you're like the first man of Mrs. DMR for this area, anyway. Alrighty, very good. My wife is going, what's that mean? I think everybody who's been around knows. Anyway, it's about to make a joke out of it. Alrighty. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Delta India Golf, Don, Miss, speak with Mobile and listening.
KTDIG, Don, nice to hear you. And any other kilos?
K2GFM, Greg, just listening.
Good evening, Greg. Good to hear you as well. And got that you're just listening. Any other kilos?
KD2EXV, Chun-Soo in Norwood.
Chun-Soo, good evening, sir. You want to roll that call sign back one more time, please?
KD2EXV, Echo X-ray Victor.
KD2EXV, very good. I just want to make sure that Randy got it. I wasn't sure. You tend to be soft-spoken, Chun-Soo, but good hearing you. Welcome aboard. Alrighty, any other kilos?
Connected N1STU. 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 N1STU. Disconnected.
Okie dokie, so let me explain why this is, and then we'll work on the roll call. So here's the problem, guys. The Echolink is a remote base into the repeater, and it was queuing requests to tell us that Stuart was either going in or out of the Echolink. And because it never got a chance to get in, gave those requests over and over and over and over, and they would, you know, the software is not quite, shall we say, smart enough to realize that it's developing a queue of identical requests, and hence why you're seeing that. It's just a defect in the way the EchoLink software works, and I don't think it can be easily configured away from occurring. But I will speak with Jim about it. If anyone else speaks with Jim, K2FJ, before me, feel free to mention what happened. Because we got, if you notice, we got connected repeatedly. We also got a disconnect in there and some more repeat connects, and then finally a disconnect. But anyway, fair enough. Any other Kilo 2s for the net? Kilos for the net. Okay, how about our good neighborly alphas?
Alpha Charlie 2, Kilo Yankee, Warren for Washington, just listening.
Okay, Alpha Charlie 2, Kilo Yankee, in Port Washington. I think I have that right. Welcome, and your name, sir?
Warren, Whiskey Alpha, Romeo Romeo, Echo November. Good evening.
Good evening, Warren. Great to have you aboard. Good to hear you again. It's been a while. Alrighty, any other alphas? Okay, November's?
November 8, Michael Alpha Romeo. Good evening, Gordon. This is David. No questions, no comments, but I'm mobile.
You know, and, the net's keeping you moving, to pick a paraphrase of a line from an old rock song. Anyway, what can I tell you? My wife just gave me a huff. Anyway. She just wants to go home now. Tree Road. Sorry. I'm in a musical mood. Don't mind me, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. All right, very good. Hi, David. And any other Novembers?
N2DXP. Ridgewood, New Jersey. And contributing a story of an amateur radio brush with the law, specifically NYPD, today at the 6:45 night. So I'm not sure if it's a technical input, but it'll be entertaining nonetheless. Back to you, Gordon.
Okay, and your name, sir?
Sean. Your Hotel Alpha Whiskey, November.
Okie doke, Sean. All right, very good, Sean. We got you. That'll be entertaining. Any other Novembers? All righty. Any other stations other than EchoLink? Right. Any other, any EchoLink stations?
At control. This is November 2, Victor Hotel Zulu, N2VHC. I'm portable. Name is Ken, Kilo Echo November, QTH is Alliance, Nebraska. No questions, nothing for sale, just listening. Back to net.
Very good. I think you have the DX award for tonight. Anybody else on EchoLink? Okie dokie. I think we're ready for rocking and rolling. So, number one in the queue is W2JEK. Mr. Don, it's your ball.
And K2BAR and the net W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. This is my VE exam business. Our next VE test session will be on Saturday, May 30th, at the Hamfest at the Westwood Regional High School. The time for the testing will be at 8 o'clock in the morning. Come and bring your test fee of $15, identification like a driver's license or passport, something with a photo on it if you have it. If not, two forms of non-photo ID. A license, please bring your license and a copy of that license. And if you're not licensed, you'll need your Social Security number, or if you choose, an FRN number from the FCC before you come to the test session. Just to bring a calculator, you may, but do not have anything stored in the memory. And anything other than the calculator, such as a cell phone, iPod, whatever that has the calculator function, may not be used. General class tests, we're still using the question pool. Using that question pool until the end of June, and after that there will be a new question pool. So if you're seeing the current material, to get tested before the end of June, another test session that will be in next two that are available, and you'll have to wait until next fall, etc. September before our next test session. Closed. Let me drop in a second. I just had one other comment. I was in this Saturday night on the 50 megahertz Sprint. On the contacts and 9 grids, just using the buds to a dipole, so I had a lot of fun with that. At any rate, back to net, W2JEK.
That's great, Don. Just curious, besides the local grids, what were the further out grids?
Okay, let's see. Let me see, 191.7, K1TR, FN42, 187 miles, K1SIX, FN43, K1DAT, FN42, 162 miles, K3TUF, and FN10, 123 miles. That's about most of the most distant ones I have on the list here. And of course I had one that was up on 21, 7.9 miles with Sprint. Back to that, W2JK.
Question?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, very curious. Is this the 6 meter Sprint? That seems like quite a distance for just 8 watts and a dipole.
Yeah. I don't. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me see here. Give it some of these. K1S. Look at some of these. Some of these are NCW. K1TR, FN42, that was CW, K1SIX, RVX, FM29 was CW, DAT, FN42 was CW. I had 9 out of the 16 were on CW, over.
Jim, did you want to add more?
Yeah, still didn't hear the, this was, what, just wanted to confirm the, that this was 6 meters?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very, very impressive. Next time I'm gonna, next time there's a Sprint on, I will use my attic dipole and maybe even use more than 8 watts and give it a try. Back to net, WA2UM.
Keep in mind the VHF contest is coming and Barra's looking to get a station, you know, a station up. And that in July there's the CQ Worldwide, which is 6 and 2 meters only for a weekend, and that can be fun too. So keep those in mind. Alrighty, anybody else have any questions about either getting licensed Barra test sessions or now the 6 meter Sprint?
N2OEL checking in.
Noel, which is bad as you, N2OEL. What are your intentions tonight?
N2OEL connected. N2OEL connected. N1STU connected. N1.
Uh-oh.
Connected. N1STU connected. N1STU connected. N1STU connected. N1STU connected. N1STU connected. N1STU. N2OEL disconnected. Connected. N2OEL connected. N2DXT. N2DXT disconnected. Connected. N1STU connected. W2TTT connected. N1STU connected. N1STU connected. N1STU. N1STU disconnected. Connected. N1STU. N1STU disconnected.
Okay, everybody, I'm here. I thought I could break that by jumping in on the echo link, but definitely something about STU. Noel, I got you. What are your intentions tonight?
N2OEL disconnected. Connected. N2OEL.
saying hello from Dayton, and I'm going to be trying, when I drive back home, I have the whip up, I'm going to be trying to run on 14300.
Okay, real quick, do you want to give us a little accounting for how the first day of the Dayton Amvention was and what your adventures were? Maybe also what you want to do tomorrow?
The first day is tomorrow. It runs Friday, Saturday, and half a Sunday. Pete, and I think possibly Val, came with Pete. Pete sent me a text message. He's going to meet me at 8 o'clock. I'm about 150 feet from the entrance in the handicapped parking area in my Airstream. I towed it over here from upstate New York. I had a great time today because the vendors are setting up outside, so you can drive around, and sometimes you get some really good deals. I didn't buy much, just a few little crimp connectors. Also, inside, they're setting up all the displays and the booths and stuff, and this is the time to talk to people, because nobody else is there asking questions, and while they're setting up, they'll be happy to answer questions for you. As I said, tomorrow, Pete's coming, and I offered him the use of my second scooter because I told him he's getting a little chubby and a little old. I have an electric wheelchair and a backup scooter here, that's why, because I'm carrying it my handicap. And got 12 miles a gallon because this is the super light Airstream, 25 feet long, only weighs 4,200 pounds. And I'm running a Honda EU200. Generator, 2000, I should say. Let me just hang up before I time out the repeater.
Well, that's excellent, Noel. Very good. Let me just check with Don to make sure he's squared away with what he was talking about, and then we'll get back to you and then go through the rest of the list. Anything else, Mr. Don?
No, that's all. I'm just mentioning that I was in the Sprint and the VE Tession on the Hamfest. Come to our Hamfest on Saturday, May 30th. The times for the Hamfest daybreak, I guess, or whatever, for the vendors. And supposedly 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever for the fairs. I'll start the VE session at 8. Try to get out by 10. Hope everybody gets there on time. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, very good, Don. Thank you. N1STU, I see you're checked in. Did you want to say anything, Stu?
Connected, N1STU.
Okay. Anybody have any questions for Noel regarding the Hamvention? Okay, very good. Noel, did you have any final comments about the Hamvention before we go to the next person?
Just that I'm dry camping. Turns out they fixed everything last fall when it was cold, so they used compressed air instead of water, and the water pump's not working. I bought 80 baby wipes, and that's the sanitary facilities. However, still use the toilet by just pouring water down it. I intend to have a great time tomorrow. I got the dog with me, the 14-pound fish chihuahua. The one that bit Pete's shoe a couple years back. This will be an interesting reunion. I'm running two scooter batteries through a 400-watt wagon, W-A-G-E-N, pure sine wave inverter. That's what I use at night to run the CPAP machine, to charge my cell phone, to charge the hearing aid controller thingy, and to charge the I fall and I can't get up pendant. So it works out pretty good. I'll say goodbye to everybody for now. This is N2OEL.
Noel, before you go, what size, what voltage and ampere hours are those batteries you're using with the inverter? And what was the type of inverter again?
They're 12-volt scooter batteries. They're normally used in series to run 24 volts to run the scooter. The original batteries were sealed lead acid 33 amp hours. However, I went to our favorite place, Battery Plus Bulbs, now down there in Ridgewood, I guess it is. Anyways, for $120 a piece, I believe it was, or maybe $126, I bought a pair of 44 amp hour AGM batteries. They fit in the same space that the 33 amp hour batteries do. I charge them up using a little Harbor Freight maximum 6 amp battery charger when I'm running the generator, for instance, for the lights, the microwave, making dinner, charging up the scooter, when I'm making the lunch, whatever, I turn on the generator. So anyways, that way I don't have to run the generator all the time. So anyways, AGM work better. You can discharge them more deeply and without danger of them becoming defunct. That's the net. This is N2OEL.
Very nice. So 44, so you have 88 ampere hours of total capacity of which you're going to use probably, let's say, 60-70% at the most. Before you would really be worried about harming the batteries, but AGMs can even go down further, if I recall. That's pretty great. So the magic phrase is AGM for those. Very good. Alrighty. Thank you, Noel. We'll move on at this point. I'm going to drop off the Echo Link because my tone is driving me crazy and I can't drop the audio any lower. So, let's see. Randy, who's our next person?
I believe I would be.
Well then, by gosh, let's go. W2S from K2BAR.
Hey, thank you very much, and good evening to everyone on the net. And I believe my audio is back to its normal dulcet tones this evening. Would that be correct, Gordon?
Actually, given that your recent behavior has not been pleasant, I'll say no, it's vastly superior than your normal dulcet tones.
Ah, okay. Well, regarding that, I believe the issue that I was having last week was due to a little bit of a flaky connector. I have, unfortunately, some multiple connectors that connect the audio feed to the rig, and there's two adapters in series with the cable, and in moving the operating position table back and forth several times, I must have loosened the thing up, so I kind of jammed everything back together, and it seems to be working better. At some point here in the near future, I'm going to replace all of that and work diligently to remove all of the extraneous adapters as I can, but that's kind of a long project.
Okay, very good. Well, that's good to know. Alrighty, and what else did you have for tonight's announcements or topic?
Well, the big thing that I have, of course, is continue to be related to mesh node developments, and a couple of things to keep in mind. On the development team, we just entered what's called the feature freeze stage. So we've made a bunch of decisions about committing to what features will definitely be in the next release of Harden amateur radio emergency data network software for mesh nodes. And over the next approximately 2 weeks, we're going through a bug fix phase, because we know that there are a bunch of annoying little gotchas that'll be fixed by the developers. And then when the bug fix phase concludes, we'll enter beta test. And for this beta test session, we've got about a half a dozen teams scattered across the United States with varying sets of equipment that are prepared to test the product with a fairly comprehensive formal test script. So this, as we conclude the beta test for this coming release, it will probably be the best tested, most thoroughly tested release of MeshNet software for amateur use ever devised. So we're looking forward to that. And I have one further comment on that. Regarding local involvement, I'm actively looking for people who are interested in participating in mesh network operations and deployment and learning about them. And in keeping with the spirit of amateur radio and its original founders as the American Radio Relay League, I am asking people on the net to consider becoming a relay point. I've started doing simulations of mapping out in the Bergen and Passaic County areas where it would be beneficial to have relay points for an amateur radio emergency data network mesh node point, where we would position probably a minimum of two nodes with some directional capability. So one of the nodes would be pointing off in one direction, perhaps with a 60 or 120 degree sector antenna, and another node at that same location would be pointing off in a different direction, again with a probably with a sector antenna or with a narrower, higher gain dish antenna. So if you're interested at all in participating in this and learning some more and are willing to supply a site where we could deploy some of these, please contact me directly, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra at ARRL.net. Once again, in keeping with the best traditions of our hobby, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
Okie dokie, that sounds exciting. I like that, getting back to the original point of amateur radio, American Radio Relay League. What a concept. Well, you can count me in. I'll even get rid of my Linksys note on the house if you talk to me nice. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Alrighty, anybody else have any comments or questions? Alrighty, Randy, you want to throw an email to everybody?
Yes, thank you. Once again, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra at ARRL.net, American Radio Relay League, and let's start relaying an emergency mesh network for high-speed support of our community's needs in times of trouble. Back to net control.
Okay, very good. But do you have any other any comments for Randy? Okay, so while I'm here and we're talking mesh, let me just quickly point out that we are going to be deploying a significant number of amateur radio cameras summer at the Passaic County Fair. Also, we're going to be trialing some of those elements at the Memorial Day Parade in Fairlawn. Also at the fireworks in Fairlawn around July 4th. I'm not sure what the date is yet. Point is that if you're interested in participating in any of these events, that would be just lovely to have you have you. Then some of that gear can be deployed in the relay network that Randy's talking about. But I think it's really, really important to see how we can serve the public. More importantly, based on some experiences we had in recent times, past events with cameras from a variety of agencies, the amateur cameras proved to be not just the most economical, but the most functional. So that adds a whole other question to the game. We really do need to about that. So if you're interested in the nodes of the cameras and what specific cameras we use, we help that. Some of us will be gathering in Fairlawn, certainly tomorrow and some other nights, Fridays forward, and or even just helping deploy some of the gear that someone else has that is as well. Anyway, any other comments on this topic? Alrighty. I think Randy at this point, who's our next person?
Our next participant is the beautiful and talented Howie, K2EIR.
In his own mind, anyway. Go ahead, Howie.
Okay, I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. I just want to remind everyone that I think the deadline for the RSVP for the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club luncheon is 1 week from tomorrow, the 22nd of May, and the luncheon is on the 27th, which is a Wednesday, at Nona's. So I just wanted to get that in there. We had a full table the last time on a rainy day. I think it goes without saying, the more the merrier. W2TTT from K2EIR.
Right, that's the 22nd at Nona.
The actual luncheon is the 27th, and you have until the 22nd to do your RSVP.
Roger, okay. So the 27th. Okay. Alrighty, very good. Well, we look forward to being there. What day of the week is that again?
The luncheon itself is on a Wednesday.
I'll have to make sure I arrange my schedule appropriately so as to make sure I make it. I'll need to step up to that if your personal schedule allows. Please join us. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll take some time out and have a noontime midweek hour of ham radio. It's kind of fun. We're at it. So, is that Howie? Anything else?
Negative. Thank you. K2EIR.
Yep. And just for reference, two clubs, BARA.org, BARA.org, if you're looking for membership on BARA, and if you're looking on Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, it's alpinerepeater.com, I believe. I think that's what it is. www.alpinerepeater.com. You'll see a pro forma webpage, linkages to that. There's a way to pay your dues online at Ridge. But more importantly, if you do sign up, take a moment and shoot several of us an email, maybe at the ComTech group, maybe others, to let us know, because we need to make sure that you end up on the luncheon list, another key feature of the club. And we have other activities too, but mostly they're complementary to BARA, not really different, and they operate at different times. So, beautiful thing. Alrighty. And you can join the ComTech group on Yahoo Groups by finding it on Yahoo Groups. Are you going to request to join? It is a closed group. Or you can shoot me an email at whiskey2tango@att.net and att.com. Both. I would recommend both. W2tango@att.net and att.com. Alrighty. One other point before we move on, and that is that that is recorded every week by the folks at amateurradio.tangovictor. That's amateurradio.tangovictor. So if you want to listen to Annette past or even going back 8 or so years, you can do that by going to
amateur radio dot Tango Victor. You'll see the Maritechnet. You'll see the Limark Technet. The New York City Transit Net and miscellaneous other nets that are up there. It's kind of neat. All right, with no further ado, Mr. Randy, who's next?
Well, that's all we had on the initial list for comments. You might want to check and see if anybody changed their mind.
What about the gentleman who had a story about NYPD's encounter about amateur radio?
Yes, I'm sorry. Somehow I overlooked that.
Alrighty, who is that?
I think I failed to make a note of that.
Alrighty, we'll punch it into the air and hope the gentleman is still there. Forgive me, sir, this is W2TTT. We'd love to hear your identity and story.
Gordon, you're hurting my feelings. But first, let's just make sure I'm getting into the repeater a little stronger. I think I was a little fatigued in the first go-around. N2DXT, Sean and Ridgewood, how copy?
Sean, you're absolutely fine. N2DXT, go for it.
All right, cool beans. First of all, yes, special guest from Dayton. That was kind of cool. About a few months ago, I listened to this very TechNet, and you guys were talking about the paperless license. And it was one of the livelier conversations I heard back and forth around these parts on a Thursday night. Well, today I had my moment. I commute in Manhattan each and every day, and I had my moment where I wish I had a paper license with me. Excuse me. Corner of 37th and 9th. I'll drop it midway here, and we'll try to keep it short. I was pulled over as a cop was saw me talking into a microphone on a Lincoln 235 on the 220 band, and knocked on the window at a red light, asked me what I was doing, and what was that, pointing to my radio. Let me drop it. And lo and behold, I started with this question. Sir, have you heard of amateur radio, ham radio? And he says, no, I don't. I know I haven't. So you can imagine where that conversation was now going to go. Very surprised, by the way. I thought it wouldn't be such an unknown thing by a big city police officer. But he started to question what the Alinco was, what the ICOM 7000 was, what the Yaesu HT was, what some of the radio that I picked up at a ham fest was sitting in a box was, what that those two ham sticks were going in the back was, what was the Wilson 5/8 wave, 2 meter 5/8 wave, 2 meter antenna on the trunk was. And I went through a tutorial for about 5 minutes of what a wonderful hobby this was. Good news is the more I talked about it with enthusiasm and vigor, and in inviting him to actually, you know, you may actually want to try this out. I think I actually said that to him at one point. It seemed like all suspicion evaporated. A smile came on his face. Said, okay, okay. No need to turn over license and registration and send me on my merry way. But I wish I had my license in my wallet at that time. So I think it would have helped. Because with a paperless, that doesn't help you. But just a little mini story for a moment of levity here on a Thursday night. No bail money needed, and back to net. KJR and 2DXT.
Well, that's marvelous. That's marvelous. I'll give you a similar story, but mine was a lot more abbreviated. Back when I had my E350 XLT war wagon with the flatbed roof deck, all sorts of antennas, and the generator on the back, and the winch on the front, and all sorts of Michigans. I think I had two towers still mounted on the top, the tubular one and the tilt-up, crank-up one. You know, the Illumina T140 that's now in my backyard, straight up, by the way. I dropped my son James out at the, Theodore Roosevelt Scout Council summer camp out in, you know, eastern Long Island, like on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning, in advance of a Order of the Arrow conclave that he was help organizing. And I missed the Cross Island exit coming back to head back to the George Washington Bridge, and so I ended up going through the Queens Midtown Tunnel at like 2:30 in the morning on a Thursday morning. Came in, you know, to pay my toll, and had the guy the requisite funds, and he said, wait a minute, what is this? And he did it like, you know, and you understand, TBTA toll collectors are generally armed cops. So he just looks at me and goes, what is this? Typical New York, what is this?
Oh, officer, it's amateur radio, and I pulled down my amateur radio license, which was laminated and up on the visor, and blah, 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 handed it to him. He goes, I repeat, what is this? I said, oh, it's for ham radio and scouting and things like that. He goes, really? And I said, and, I had a ladder on the side so I could reach up and get to the antennas. He goes, and the ladder? I said, so when the antennas are horizontal, I can reach up and, you know, put the mast in and get the antennas on the mast before I tilt it up and then crank it up with the winch. Uh-huh. And I look forward at that point, because mind you, I'm looking at the toll plaza, the toll collector the whole time, and I have two TBTA police cars crisscrossed within inches of my front bumper. I wasn't going anywhere. And I looked at my rear view, and there were two behind me as well. At that point, they lit up their lights and parted their ways.
Yeah, I didn't have that kind of intensity, but I'm sure everyone has a moment by which they have been operating and had that law enforcement inquiry. It always makes for an interesting experience, especially in this day and time. And, you know, in a way, you had to kind of go through the explanation. What do you do? Who do you talk to? Asking me questions. Can you talk on what frequencies? And through it one by one by one. So we got a little mini 101 on amateur radio, and who knows? Maybe it'll be a new amateur radio operator in a few months from now from the experience. And I could have saw in, a gleam in his eye in one moment. It just maybe said, you know what, this could actually be kind of interesting. And then he left me alone and probably found some other guy who was talking on his cell phone and ticketed him properly. Anyway, that's my contribution, a moment of levity, and I'll let you guys carry on. We'll be listening in the rest of the way. Thanks for listening tonight. N2DXC.
That's pretty awesome. Thank you for sharing that, and it just goes to show you, even if you have to print out your own license, get it, do it neatly, laminate it, and keep one in your wallet, keep one in your car, and all that other stuff. It's really important to do that. And by the way, if you have any amateur radio equipment around, you're supposed to have your license with you guys. It's just, you know, it's better. And if the gear is in any way ever unattended, there needs to be a license around. Especially if it can transmit automatically, but even if it's not, it's just a good idea to have it around. So I put copies of that in my Go box. In fact, go to Staples and they will cheerfully use luggage tag material, which will have the slot on the end, and you'll be able to turn it into an ID tag and miscellaneous other things, but you can affix it to your gear or clip it onto your gear, etc., in any which way you find appropriate. Very good stuff. Trying to think, there was one other thing I wanted to say about this, anybody else, first of all?
W2JEK, Don.
This is all your fault, but yes, Don.
Okay, yeah, one thing that you should have in New Jersey, if you're operating a ham radio in the car, copy of the law, and I don't have it with me right now, off the top of my head. Get a copy of the law. Amateur radio operators from these, you could say, a copy of the law, because you can't expect controls. That's in your glove compartment. You are exempt.
Yeah, the other thing is that more and more police officers are of a generation where they don't know what amateur radio is, and I even had Bergen County police officers a couple of years ago, or one officer, give me major grief over my van and everything else, and I had to do some name dropping, and I handed a business card of a senior officer to the guy, not a get out of jail free card, I generally don't carry those, thank you, but I handed him the business card of a senior officer of the department to just calm him down, and he was a little annoyed, but he let me go unfettered. But it is kind of amazing. Getting the word out and having even an amateur radio brochure is probably a really good idea. If anyone would like some amateur radio brochures, either trifolds or even a glossy 8.5x11, I've got a good supply of the NMRO ones, and I'd be more than happy to bring them to the next Fairlawn meeting or Barron meeting. People want to make up a little goodie package to keep in their visor that's a good thing, with your license in the case of New Jersey residents, Title 39. In fact, it would be a bad idea for New York residents who drive in New Jersey to carry a copy of Title 39, requisite piece. But yeah, that's all good. Anybody else?
Bring it to the luncheon, K2EIR.
I will bring my treasure trove. Get some left over from a couple of ham radio scouting events, so got plenty to share. No problem, I'll do that. Anybody else?
W, late check-in.
Hello, Delta 2, Charlie, Bravo, Victor, comment, question?
Okay, so we have WI2W first. What are your intentions, Steve?
I have a comment.
Okay, and the other station who came in, your call sign, name, and intention, sir?
Sorry for being late. KD2CBB. That's Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Bravo Victor. We have Todd and Hanley, the silent partner, East Village, New York.
Okay, very good. And you have a comment?
Regarding the law enforcement not knowing what ham radio is, and some of the Class 93 compliant radios out there, such as Baofengs and so on, that transmit outside of the ham band. If you have a radio that does not transmit outside the ham band, then that, I guess it strengthens your position, because I'm not sure if they are allowed to confiscate a radio that, say, can in fact transmit on certain forbidden bands, if you will, say some of the police frequencies, and I don't know if they actually have the right if you are not licensed to. So it might be better to, you know, you might lose the little cheapo radio, okay, fine, but you're less likely to lose the, say, the chem with the ICOM and so on. I don't know, and I'm just putting it out there for discussion.
Generally speaking, I found that law enforcement is provided with the right materials, and to DHC's case's enthusiasm, which I can easily mirror, they'll generally leave you alone pretty good. I'm curious, anybody else on this topic?
Mr. JK.
Mr. Don.
Okay. Some years back, this is 10 years ago or more, some of these radios, the 2-meter radios, came out, not only received features on 144 to 148, but they also received up into the 150 megahertz range, up to maybe 160 or thereabouts, maybe down some 2-meter frequencies as well. And at that time, the law was you were not allowed to have a police radio in your car. Physically, and if somebody stopped the ham operator and found out, well, you got a radio, and then they turned the dial, and here they cranked it, able to crank the thing up to 150 something megahertz, which is a police frequency. State police on the turnpike was confiscating these rigs, examined them. They came back to the owners, they were inoperable. The hullabaloo about this, there was a Hamilton W2 written that law. And if you use a radio for a criminal act, guys, you look out, alerting, using a burglar in a house or something, that was against the law. To have a radio that was receivable, just receiving police frequencies is okay. Actually, it's against the law, federal-wise, for you to take a rig and transmit on police frequencies. Just to modify it, you should not. Back to net, W2JK.
K-2-C-A-K.
KD2CAK. Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Alpha Kilo, Ari, welcome aboard.
Good evening, Gordon, and good evening to the net. I was monitoring for a short time, and I thought I'd throw in there that having recently looked into scanning, that the prior gentleman's absolutely right. In New York City, it's still technically on the law illegal to be in possession of a scanner. In New Jersey, it's written as you can have it as long as you're not using it in furtherance of a crime. but had Sean been in a position where he was running with a scanner in New York, it might have turned out differently. That's my contribution there. I hope everybody's having a great night. 82CAK, back to net.
Again, and why it's important to have your amateur license. Very good. Steve, WI2W, are your comments related to this topic or something else?
This topic and the one before.
Then your turn.
Okay, so I have some detailed instructions on how to log on to the FCC website with your FRN number, which, by the way, you can get on QRZ.com on the details page for your call sign. I will post an email message up to the ComTech group that gives detailed instructions on how to download an official copy of your license. So you can print that out, it says official copy on, and then put it wherever it is you need to get to it. The second thing is in regards to the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles and what the rules are regarding a ham radio in a car. Let me drop it. So, August of 2013, Mike Lysenko inquired with the DMV, and the DMV issued an opinion on amateur radio and the cell phone law and the distracted driving law. I'll put a link up to this information also on the ComTech group in a separate email. But to summarize it, three quick points. The use of two-way radios that are not connected to public switch telephone service does not violate the cell phone law. Therefore, operating a ham radio does not violate that law.
Public switch telephone network, as in the circuit switch network or the packet switch network?
Way past my pay grade. If the equipment in the car is not capable of violating the distracted driving law, including sending text messages, pictures, email, or other electronic data, then the operator is not in violation of the distracted driving law. Even if the equipment is capable of violating the law, including sending text messages, pictures, email, and other electronic data, as long as it's not being used in such a manner, the operating of the equipment is not violating the distracted driving law. And in summary, in other words, if you're just talking on your radio, you're not in violation of the law. So I'll put a link up to those two things on the ComTech group for those interested. Now, that was only for New York State, and the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles issued that. There's a link to the full text. I don't know what New Jersey has in mind, but Sean, you were just fine today.
Sean?
Yeah, no, great input. Just happy to listen in and get some of the thoughts here from across the group. I'll let you guys keep it moving.
Sean, just remind us again, where were you pulled over?
First time in 8 years, by the way. I've been talking a long time. 37th Street, 9th Avenue, right there at the corner of the Port Authority bus terminal. The gentleman was clearly out. The cop was definitely out there scouting for people. I mean, that are, you know, seatbelt violations. I mean, you know, you could tell. You know, he walked back over to the side where he was clearly hiding out, you know, by his car or whatever. But 9th and 37th.
And he was uniformed with the white and blue car?
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. Standard NYPD cop, for sure. Yeah, the amazing part of the experience, and again, I don't want this to be the predominant topic, I know there's others in there, but I guess I talked him through it so well, because he started by asking me for a little driver's license and registration, and I never turned it over to him, which is pretty counter, you know, productive to how you should probably have an interaction with the law officer. Probably should just do that right away. But for some reason, my instinct had me launching into doing exactly what he was about to inquire about. So I decided just to go for it. I just went into sir, what am I being pulled off for? Is it regarding this radio? I went right into the conversation with him. And by the end of it, I didn't turn anything over. I could have swore. And that's the part that amazes me. So I'm patting myself on the back for doing a very, very good job at de-escalating his concern and offering a very friendly, open, and transparent conversation about this awesome hobby. By the end, he was smiling, and like I said, maybe we got a convert, but yeah, he was a standard NYPD officer. It wasn't like a traffic cop or whatever. At one point, you saw him reading.